Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and I want to give a big shout out to everyone who continues to listen to the show. To all of you who are just tuning in, and thank you again. I truly hope that you all take this information back into your relationships and use these tools. And please don't forget to leave a review and 5-star rating for the show. It really, truly helps the show get more recognition and in turn helps more people. But before I jump into today's episode, I want to introduce my guest today. I'm so honored to have this guest on today. He is my first guest that I've had two times now on the show, and I'm super excited. His name is Eric Everhard, and he is an author, a men's coach, and a man who has experienced unparalleled success in the adult industry. He has walked the walk, and now he is here to share his expertise with you. As an actor, he has mastered the ability to decipher a woman's body within moments of meeting her. And with this ability has led him to create a mind-blowing orgasm on screen and off. Welcome, Eric. Thanks for coming on to today's show.
Oh, thank you for having me. You know what they say, double the pleasure, double the fun. So here we go. Time number two.
I love this. And literally when this gets released, it'll almost be a year to date. And so, and just a little bit of information, everyone who's listening now, if you haven't heard our last episode, go listen. It is my most downloaded episode of all time so far. So this could be the next one.
Oh, pressure's on. It's like I'm number one, but now I have to beat number one status. Okay, do this.
I think what that means is people are really fascinated by you and the things that you do and have done. And people love sex. They want to hear about it. They want to know how to please their partners. And I think you give a good example of that. So that's amazing. But I know last time we had talked a little bit more about intricacies of your career in the porn industry. You've been in over 2,400 films and I think over 60 awards, something.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's a lot. We lost count. Yeah, no, it's quite a few.
So you're more than qualified to educate men in the bedroom on how to please in the bedroom.
Well, it's not just the qualifications. You know, I mean, a big part of it is because you could have gone through all the experiences that I have and still not really gain the same level of learning. So part of it is, okay, you need to go through the experience. Part of it is you need to have the conscious awareness to notice, okay, what's going on? Why are these things working? How is my own body working? How can I biohack myself to achieve a goal, right? I've said this often. You know, people ask, well, how did I learn my methods? Mm-hmm. Well, I learned them through trial and error. I learned them because, you know, if I'm feeling the urge to ejaculate and I look at the clock and I'm, say, 1 minute into my scene and the urge strikes me, I look at that clock and I'm like, I got 59 minutes to go or nobody gets paid. Well, I better figure this out, right? I better figure it out really fast because the stakes are so high. And sometimes in life, when the stakes are high, it's that necessity that brings about new ideas, new methods, and you rise to that occasion, like literally. And so that's really where my teaching comes from. I don't have the PhD from some sexology university. My PhD is the 10,000 plus hours spent on my back. And I think that's way more valuable, especially for men when they're really struggling with, okay, how can I overcome my performance anxiety in the moment? What do I need to be paying attention to when I'm doing pussy eating? How do I know that she's faking it or not? How do I understand how her body works? How do I understand how my own body works, right? When push comes to shove, can I stop myself from ejaculating? Can I go for 10, 20 minutes? Like, how does this all work? And so that's really what I bring to my clients is, okay, these are the practical, actionable things that I've learned that work. These are the mindsets that are required to be at that, you know, top performance level in the bedroom. Because my God, 95% of it, let's just start there, 95% of it is mind, right? It's all about your mindset. It's about your belief, not just about yourself, but about your penis, right? You need to really believe that he is going to rise to the occasion. And that irrational belief can really allow you to accomplish amazing things in the bedroom. But you need to sow those seeds of belief. And that comes from positive feedback loops and a lot of different things that I do with clients.
So that's a lot. I'm going to unpack some of that, if you don't mind.
Unpack away.
First, I want to talk about you say the biggest lie in the sex industry is, you know, that comes from other people, other coaches. What is that? What is this biggest lie about performance? Is it about why?
The biggest lie that I've found is everybody always says, well, if you just learn to communicate, that everything's going to be better. And that is a flat out lie. I don't know who is selling this crap to people, but it's that exactly. Okay. Right. I'll use a real example that I think a lot of everybody can get behind. In which country are you in?
I'm in the United States.
Okay, you're in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take, this is a really great one. Let's take NBA basketball, right? And for ballpark, how tall would you say you are?
Up 5'6".
5'6". Mm-hmm. Is there any amount of communication that can make you 7 feet tall?
Definitely not.
So let's start right there.
Okay.
Right? And that's the basis for a lot of the lie that goes on, you know, because we cannot communicate our way through biology. Biology is number one, right? So when I look at what I term sexual satisfaction, which is what we all want, right? Like men, women, we want to have sexual satisfaction. And I look at it as having three different layers to it. At the top, we have sexual alignment. And that is the biology piece. That's fixed. That's there, right? You know, I can't convince myself to be 7 feet tall. I can't convince myself, you know, to have an appendage the size of, you know, Rocco Siffredi. There's a lot of things that I just can't do, right? You know, if you're 5'6", you can't convince yourself to be, you know, 6 feet tall. So we've got that biology piece, which is sexual alignment. That's the lock and key theory that I talk about. And we can dive into that as we go. But that's where I talk about the four different kinds of vaginas and how that will affect a man's satisfaction in the bedroom just by itself. And it's a major part just of the satisfaction piece. Mm-hmm. Then we go under that and we have what I call sexual chemistry. That is, you know, vibration, energy, pheromones. Then we go a layer way below that and we have what I call sexual compatibility. Now that's where communication comes in. But look at all those other levels where there's zero communication there.
Yeah.
So the idea that, you know, and I see why people want to sell it, because it's, you know, you can just trope it out there, especially if you don't really have any actual bedroom experience. You're going to say, well, just communicate better. It sells good in Cosmo. But no, it's not about communication, mm-hmm. right? It's about, well, you need to understand how your body works. You need to understand the cues of the other person's body, right? You need to fundamentally understand their body as good as possible just through what you are feeling, right? Because it all comes back to feeling. I mean, sex has so many different levels to it, right? It's like mm-hmm. we got the physical, we got the emotional, we got the mental, we got the spiritual. But fundamentally, it is a physical act. You know, we start with the physicality. We start with those sensations. And if we're not having good sensations, we're not that interested. You know, I sometimes get lambasted for this, but I've said many times, you know, I said, guys, if you want to know if your pussy eating is good or not, see if she drags you up and says, just come fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
That's code for you
it's
suck.
Not good.
It's not good, right? And it's true because guess what? If it was really good, you're not moving him one inch. You're like, no, babe, you can stay down there forever. I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
Right? It's when it's not that you're like, oh, you know, oh, well, let's just have sex, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to be hedging your bets that, well, maybe I can get an orgasm through that because certainly what he's doing right there isn't going to work, right? So there's all these different things that we got to unpack about it, but that's where, you know, to bring it back to that big lie piece, that's why I say that's such a big lie, because there's so many other things that matter way more than communication, right? Like, sure. And I learned this even through my time as an actor, because you would show up on set, you shake somebody's hand, you know them for 15 minutes. Okay. So if I know them for 15 minutes, I don't really have a lot of communication with them, but I can figure out what makes them orgasm really quick. How am I doing that? What am I feeling for? What am I noticing in their body? And these things far exceed any communication aspect, because the person may not even be able to communicate effectively what they like, but you can feel it when you hit it, right? If you know, again, what you need to be feeling for. And so that's how that piece comes into play.
Yeah. And just on that note, as an actor, like you said, you not knowing this person for more than a few minutes, you hope that the other person is being honest with what they're enjoying, right? Is that not necessary in the porn industry, you know, as an actor versus a real life bedroom? You know what I mean? So is she, oh, I just love everything that you're doing, or is she really trying to reciprocate to you on what feels good to her?
Well, no. So this is what I always found fascinating, more with the porn industry, I think, than anything else, because I think fundamentally, it's more honest in so many ways.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, for example, you would always know what's working, because obviously when the cameras are rolling and when the cameras aren't rolling, people are different, right? Because there's one part where you're acting and then you're there for real. But the interesting thing about being put in this position where you have this, I'm going to call it like neutral third party, right? Because it's like, okay, I'm hired by this neutral third party, you know, this company, and the girl is hired by this neutral third party, this company, right? So there's no necessary emotional connection between her and me. We are coworkers. So she doesn't owe me anything. And so in that aspect, you would find people being so radically honest, like, hey, I don't like that. Do this, do that. Don't do this, do that. I mean, people are straight up in a way that you would never find once emotions and relationships get involved, right? So for me, it was like, wow, you can really find out really quickly what works, what doesn't, what people like, what they don't, because they're so radically honest, because they don't give a shit about your feelings from that perspective, right? Like, it's not like people are mean or bad, but you know, if you're there and this is the love of your life, okay, how do you tell them that they suck in a way, right? Or like most people do, they just, you know, bite their tongue and never say anything. Mm. Whereas being on set, oh, nobody cares. I mean, I'm being paid to be here with you right now, and you're being paid here to be with me. So I'll tell you what I think straight up. So that's what I mean in the sense of there's this real honesty that would come through that I just don't know if you could get that same radical honesty any other way, because again, in any other sexual situation, you tend to have so many emotions laid upon it. Mm-hmm. And here it's like, well, when you remove those emotions, now people are more free to express themselves however they would want.
Yeah, that's raw honesty, which is probably how you learned a lot too. I mean, what I don't understand is if people are in relationships or they're just out and about, you know, having a rendezvous, but why wouldn't they be able to speak what they liked more, what it's more comfortable, this turns me on? Like, for me, I don't quite understand why people aren't more vocal about what it is that they want or like.
Yeah, I mean, I know from the men's perspective, a lot of it is fear. And there's fear for so many things, because one of the things, you know, especially, and this does get exacerbated through the porn business for sure, but, you know, guys, when it comes to blowjobs, a girl could be doing something that's not good and no guy will speak up. And so what does that create? It creates the same problem that women create when they fake orgasm. It's no different. You're still creating a problem, right? It's like, as a woman, you think you have these great skill sets that you don't, because he just never said anything, right? But he doesn't want to say anything because in his mind, well, if I say something, she's going to stop. So I better just keep my mouth shut because she's doing it. That's where the guy's head goes. Just like how women, rather than saying, hey, you know, do this or do that. Okay, it's not working. I'm just going to fake the orgasm so he moves on.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's almost like Pavlov's dog, right? Like, okay, you've trained him that that worked, at least in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do it again and again and again. And now you're stuck in this loop where, my God, it's never going to get better because he actually thinks he won. He thinks he's the champion. And you've trained him that way, right? You know, it's just like, I never understand these people that, you know, they have the pee pads with their dog and they put the pee pads inside. I said, you're training your dog to pee in your house. You do understand that, right? It's the same thing.
The same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, just voice what you want. I've never faked an orgasm, ever. I have said when someone was eating my pussy, oh, come on, let's just fuck. I have done that.
Yeah.
So it's basically the same thing, you know?
Well, but I also tell guys, I said, look, you know, and this also comes from that experience. I had a client recently that that emailed me, and he's working through my process of pussy eating. And he says, you know, he goes, I understand now because my girlfriend had said that to me before. And he says, now I know why she said it. Because before, he doesn't really know. And I said, yeah, well, 90% sure that's because you weren't doing something good. And she's like, okay, how can I softly, you know, wrap this up? Right. So
the how of eating pussy. I absolutely love the name. Now, you just said like a little bit ago something about four different types of vaginas or
yes.
Four different shapes.
Four different types. No, four different types.
Okay.
So we can go down this rabbit hole.
Yeah, let's do that.
So this was interesting in terms of. I wrote a PowerPoint presentation actually to my Academy members because I was talking about this. And it was sort of a revelation in terms of sexual satisfaction. And when it was happening, I couldn't really understand it, right? And so over the years, I was able to break down, okay, what are these four types? Because there's this misnomer, and I'm sure you would have heard it too, right? We always have the guys in the locker room, and it's just like, I don't know why, but guys have this ideation in their head that tighter is better, and it is not, right? What you need to understand is that there is this grouping of qualities that is going to work for you as a man, right? And so in you finding out what is your sexual satisfaction, once you know, okay, there is this specific type that works for me across, you could have 100 different women. If they have that type, it's going to be a much better sensory experience. Remember, I'm just talking sensory here. We're not talking about that it means that they're going to have a fabulous personality or anything else. We're just talking a sensory perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I've flipped this around on women, and then most women will tell me that it's very similar in terms of a man. So the four pussies came about. My first thought about this theory. I was in a scene. This was back in 2000. And it was a three-way. I was with two women, myself. And I remember it was a pool setting. So the girls have on, you know, nice bikinis at some sort of like pool thing. And I start both girls in a doggy position because I'm thinking, okay, we're going to go back and forth. We're going to keep some high energy. And that's how this is going to start. Like I'm already in my mind sort of planning how this is going to go. And I remember penetrating the first lady, and literally, I think it was like five strokes, urge to ejaculate hits me. I'm like, whoa, okay. And in my mind, I thought, okay, like, let's go quickly to the other woman. Maybe the time in between, I can get it together, right? This is my thought process. So I do it, go to the second lady, genius. It worked. I'm like, I could go for, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, no problem. I got it together, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going, like 5 minutes goes by or something. And then it's like, okay, let's go back to the first lady. I go, five strokes again. 1, 2, 3. Oh my God. And I'm like, okay, what is the difference here? Because there is something, mm-hmm. right? And so as I went on over the years, that's where I came down to there being basically four types. And no type is better than another, but it will be for you as the individual. So if we were to look at almost like one of those sliding, equalizers on a stereo system, right? Where you've got the middle is zero. On the one side, you have minus 10. On the other side, you have plus 10, right? Mm-hmm. So on the extremes, and so that's what I'm talking about. These are at the extremes. And a lot of women, their sliders somewhere over here, somewhere over here, somewhere, it's a combination. But I have met women that are very much just at these polar extremes. And when you've met those, then you can see how this is the extreme. And then everybody else kind of fits in the middle. And so on one side, you had what I termed granular, right? And so what we're talking about here is internal skin texture. Mm-hmm. And often I'll use an example of, let's just say, a woman's thighs, because most men have, always, they've raised their laid their hand on their woman's thighs, and they know what that skin texture feels like. Mm-hmm. And if we lined up 50 girls, every woman's going to have a different skin texture. This girl, her may be like have this real tight feeling quality of the skin. The other one, oh my, it feels like velvet, almost like shea butter. Then the other girl's like, well, it's got a little more tougher quality to it, right? And these are all skin textures. Mm-hmm. And we can, objectively say, yeah, okay, I can feel that these skin textures are different. But nobody ever thinks that inside the vagina, we have different skin textures as well. And that's what you're feeling as a man, right? So when I say this granular, that was the descriptive word I could sort of find for it. So it's almost like, when we're talking about condoms, how they say ribbed for your pleasure, right? It's got right. That sort of consistency. It's almost like it's got some little nodules. And for some guys, this is extremely sensory producing, And that's why I will find men tend to gravitate toward one category or the other, right? So they either like granular or on the other extreme, what I found, the only terminology I could describe for it was velvety. Because okay. It's got this almost like if you were to put your hand on a soft piece of velvet, it's got that same skin texture quality. And these are all things that you aren't able to feel really with anything other than the head of your penis, right? Like that's giving you the most sensory input where you're like, okay, I feel these different qualities. Mm-hmm. So that's your, in terms of the skin quality. And then you would have the range of tightness from, okay, that extremely tight to something that is more loose and where girls are in between there. And again, there's no combination that is better than another. Mm-hmm. It's all about, like for me, if a woman has too tight of a vagina, it hurts, doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'd be like, don't like that. Like probably medium and hyper velvety would be me as a man, right? Like that, if you have that, oh my God, like, okay, this could be over really quick if I'm not engaging all my tools that I have. Mm-hmm. But, for another guy, I was just on with one of my members in the academy and he was saying, oh my God, that granular thing, that's my type. I've had women like that. And now that he understands it, he can say, okay, well, I know what I respond to. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say it's important for a man to understand what he responds to is because then, if you meet a woman that has that just as the basis for the sensory beginning of your relationship, you're unlikely to let her go. And you also understand, okay, there's not going to be, there might be different sensations, but I'm not going to find something that is a better sensation. Because part of the grass is greener on the other side is, guys are like, well, maybe the sex is better. Uh-huh. And if we start to understand what works for us from a sensory perspective, then we can say, okay, well, it's not going to be really that much better or better at all, right? Mm-hmm. It could be way worse because I understand here, with this person from a sensory perspective, I have what I want and what feels good for me.
That's so fascinating. That's the first time I've heard of that.
Well, I've talked to women around this and not to put you on the spot, but mm-hmm. but for a lot of women, I'll say, okay, imagine now, depending on how many men you've been with, probably of all those men, there was a specific size, curvature, type of head, all these things that in and of itself, minus him having any skill, but just in and of itself felt better when it penetrated you than another. Almost every woman has always said, oh yeah, without the skill. Now we can layer skill on top of it, but we're just saying just the raw material that we're starting with. Mm-hmm. And that's always different because I've known women that, you know, hey, they like it where it's like the guy's got a fat head and he's got a more skinny penis. I know girls that like the banana curve. I know girls that only like straight. I know girls that they want the thick base. I mean, it's all individual. But even from a woman's perspective, you could say, well, yeah, there is a type that if I could find that on every man moving forward, I would take it. And then I hope he's got a great personality and he's got all these other things, right? But just from that perspective, he's starting with the right material for you because he may be the wrong person for Jane or for Samantha, but for you, it's the right guy.
Yeah. So how can we put that in dating profiles?
That's what you need to come up with, right? There is your app. That is your winning app, right?
That is the ticket because, you know, you might look good on paper, but nothing else is good. There's got to be a combination. So
yeah, it'll be like cock sizing by Celeste. I don't know, something like that, you know, something fancy. We'll massage it. We'll make it sound good.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Okay. Well, on that, so does this matter or do you know, just for example, I have a backwards cervix. Does that matter in the, is it position or a feel? Do you know? I don't know if you know. I'm just shooting the shit here.
Yeah, I've never personally experienced where that would be an issue. Okay. So, yeah.
I think for me, it's position. So I think for me, there's certain positions that feel better because of that. So, I mean, I just...
Well, I mean, so from my experience, I mean, every woman is going to have positions that work or don't based on their anatomy and then not just based on the anatomy, but based on the guy.
Right.
Like I've known, again, especially, you know, because I've known actors that they really have a super pronounced, almost banana-like curve. And you'll have some women where they're like, oof, you know, doggy, that doesn't feel good or I can't do it. And other girls can. So, you know, we're marrying, you know, what does your anatomy say with, you know, what is the guy possessing and does it work or does it not? And, you know, for some people, if it's too extreme, doesn't work, and then others it does.
Well, one good thing about women, if you can master the clitoris, you are good to go. Because let me tell you, the percentage of a woman orgasming through her vulva or through her vagina is so low. And so I love that you did this. I mean, not that sex is an important, you know, part. I'm not minimizing that. I'm just saying if you can master the clit and make her orgasm, you're good to go.
Well, it's funny, you know, in the Tao of Eating Pussy, the first chapter is I titled Master the Pussy, Master the Woman, right? Yeah. And that's not meant in some Machiavellian sense or anything, but it's simply the fact that I just know through my own experience, right? And so this is something that I tell guys because I say, look, if you're trying to be the best guy that you can be, right? And, you know, you want to outcompete all the other suitors out there, it's the most high leverage thing that you can do because I just know from my own personal experience, I've seen some women that have gone far and wide just because I've been able to do that consistently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most guys aren't consistent simply because they don't know what they're doing. This was last year. I was sitting at dinner with a gentleman and he started going on about this one time that he was going down on this girl because, you know, we're talking sex and he's like, hey, he made her orgasm. It was so amazing. And I said, great. And I said, so what were you paying attention to? And I got crickets. And he's like, I don't know. What am I supposed to pay attention to? And I said, and that's why you've never been able to repeat it because you don't know, right? Like this is a very easily repeatable thing, but you have to know what you're paying attention to. You have to understand what's going to work, what doesn't work. Like these are all important things because otherwise you're going down there and it's like, well, you're just shooting blanks in the dark. You're just trying stuff. And I put a post on Instagram today where I talked about pussy eating, but I said, don't be special, be consistent. You know, someone that's a really master is not trying to write the alphabet with their tongue or chew on some pussy lips or some, nonsensical shit like that. Right? It's so. It goes back to what I talk about, because I often say, okay, look at what women love. Vibrators, right? Every woman loves a good vibrator for the most part. Now, let's dissect that. Why do women love them? Three reasons. Number one, ever sit there and watch a woman use a vibrator? She's not going over some sidewalls and doing some weird stuff. Stapled to the clit. That's it. Thing is not moving. It's on the clit. There it goes. There it stays, right? So you're staying on the clit, number one. Number two, the power source. Is she ramping it up a million miles a minute, 1 second, and then slowly going down to, the crawl of a turtle the next? No. You're finding whatever that correct rhythm and power is for you, and you're setting the button. Mm-hmm. And you're never changing it, right? So we have consistent and rhythmic power and application of that power. Mm-hmm. That's number two. And then number three, never stops. That vibrator is like the Terminator, right? It's relentless. It's not, unless your batteries die, it ain't stopping. And neither should you, right? Because women's orgasms come like a wave in the ocean. And if you decide you're going to wipe your nose or take a drink of water or do whatever stuff is going on, that wave goes back out to sea. And you may have spent, as a man, you may have spent 5 minutes in earnest building that up just to go wipe your nose for 5 seconds, and it's gone. All that time is wasted, right? Because now you're off the wave. Mm-hmm. So these are principles that guys need to understand. And that's what I mean. The vibrator can teach us so much, but we have to be willing to listen.
Yeah.
We have to understand, okay, these are the principles of women's bodies. We can clearly see what's working and what's not. And so how can we take that and instead of using the vibrator, use our tongue instead?
Yeah.
The principles are still the same.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's such a good analogy, because the consistency, right? You coin, I was like, boom. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. I know people are like, I really wanted to talk about your masterclass, this new masterclass you have.
Oh, yeah. The Academy, the Everhart Academy.
The Academy. Excuse me. Yes, the Academy. And I know most of your clientele prior, and maybe it's the same, but, you know, CEOs, entrepreneurs, people that like you say, master the boardroom, and you teach them how to master the bedroom. So with this Academy, is this for those individuals or who is it for?
So the Academy is basically for every guy that wants to improve in the bedroom, right? Because what I wanted to create was the ultimate educational portal for men where they could get not only support, but they could get the actual lessons that matter. So inside of the Academy, how I've structured it, right now we have over 120 lessons and it's growing because it's a subscription and the lessons never end, right? There's always new things that we can learn. But what I teach them is, first I teach them in terms of lecture materials. So it's things like we were talking about right now. I break down, okay, what are the things we need to do to instill belief systems? If it's one of the modules on mindset, there's modules on mindset, women's arousal, pussy eating, anal sex, proper positioning, how to last longer, how to stay hard, condoms, sexual diseases, threesomes, everything possibly that I could think of from my experience that they would be able to gain a lot of not only insights, but wisdom from. And so it goes lecture material, and then it goes into practical material. So this is not safe for work stuff where I give a play-by-play talking as I'm doing things. Because it's one thing if I say, well, here's how you need to do it.
Right.
Because guys are visual creatures. We need to see. It's like, you know, it's like I could say, well, here's how we change the oil. No. I want the YouTube, and I want, like, okay, how do I actually do that?
Mm-hmm. Right?
And so that's what I give guys, is I go step by step. I show them my methods. I show them how I'm doing things, and I show them why I'm doing things. And so that gives that layer of, okay, now I get it. I understand, how does this position need to be done to maximize clitoral contact? How do I need to do this position so that I can last longer, right? What is this specific position that could deliver me pain so that I can last longer? What do I need to think about in terms of strategy? Because often lasting longer isn't just all the other tools, but it starts with strategy. You've got to be strategic in your positions. Mm-hmm. So all this stuff culminates inside the academy. And then we also do, I do group coaching sessions with the guys every month. And also there's a whole forum where they can ask their questions and we post all their wins there as well. So it's really like a total package that I wish I had when I was a kid, right?
Yeah, because who teaches this subject? You know, our parents, they just don't have sex, number one. Number two, put a jimmy on it, right? And that's about it. There's no education. And I was talking to a sexologist who was on my show, and I said, when does this start? This should start. I mean, obviously not this depth of your academy, but there should be elements of, you know, more teaching of this when kids are younger. He's like, oh, don't even get me started on that.
but even to your point where they say put a jimmy on it. So mm-hmm. I talk at length about condoms in the academy because most of the condoms are shit. Mm-hmm. Most are bad. Like, guys need to understand, okay, what's really going on when I'm using a condom? How do I need to get the right condoms so that I can perform better? Because I've dealt with many guys that it's not that they have problems performing, but the condom that they're using is hindering their performance. But now they're coding it as a psychological thing because they weren't able to stay hard. It's like, well, if you don't have the right tools, right? Like, if I don't have my pickaxe and I don't have my shoes and I don't have all this good stuff, I'm not going to climb Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. So you can't expect that you are going to perform at this elite level if you don't have elite level condoms as well. But most guys aren't thinking about this. They're just like, hey, I'm going to Rite Aid, I'm going to Walgreens, whatever they got, it's all the same. It is not mm-hmm. the same. And mm-hmm. so you need to understand that because, you know, I learned as an actor early on, there was a massive difference between boutique brands and what they could give you. And not only that, what it was about the specific condom that allowed me to perform at my best. Because there are certain attributes that specific condoms have that your average condom does not. And so this is even the bigger level thinking that I give to my clients because it matters. And if you have, you know, quote unquote failed, but it wasn't your failure, it was because of the condom, but now you've internalized it as your failure, how is that going to help you moving forward? Because now you're going to be like, oh man, I hope I get hard. Like, now that becomes a negative spiral of thoughts that doesn't need to be there because it's not actually you. It's just, you know, what you're working with. Change what you're working with, your abilities to perform are going to skyrocket.
Yeah. There's such a, men take it so, it's such a heavy burden too. If it's one time something happens, right? And they're not performing or they can't get hard or, you know, it's so, I think more than women, I think they take it on 10 times more. Like, it's like you said, they have this negative effect or this negative memory of that. And so there's so much more pressure the next time.
Well, yeah. And in my first book, it was something that I wrote about that's very true. You know, the burden of performance solely rests with the man when it comes to the bedroom. You know, I talked about it at length where I said, look, the decision to have sex totally rests with the woman. Totally. You are the one deciding because, you know, most guys, right? If you say, hey, I'm going to have sex with you, I mean, unless you've got a wooden leg and a glass eye, and even then we may go for it, right? We're all like hands in the air, like, hey, Celeste, pick me over here, right? Mm-hmm. We are, right? Mm-hmm. So you are the decider. You're the one like, not you. Look nice, let's go, right? Mm-hmm. So the decision's all coming from you, but that's where it ends, you know, in terms of the actual sexual act. It's now 100% the guy, because you may want to, you know, screw his brains out. If he doesn't get hard, it's not going to happen. You may want to go for 1 hour. If he lasts 30 seconds, doesn't happen. So that act of performance, it's out of your hands completely. Like and that's just how it is. Like, we can't say it's good or it's bad. It's just, that's the way the world is, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you did your choice. You said, okay, it's going to be him. And after that, your hands are tied. And it's like, okay, well, I hope he gets it together. I hope he's good. I hope he can do this. I hope he can do that. But so, you know, is the pressure real? Yes. Is the burden of performance only on the man? Yes. That's not a bad thing, though. It's just that as guys, we have to not shy away from it. We have to recognize, okay, you know what? I can't play the victim here. It is all on me. What do I got to do to make sure I can deliver? And then when you understand, okay, well, what's that going to take? Okay, well, is it going to take me settling my mindset? Okay, what do I have to do for that? Is it going to take me generating positive feedback loops so that I can get hard? Great, let's do that. Is it going to take some sleight of hand so that I can get myself together without her knowing what I'm doing, so she thinks I'm still a god, even though maybe that's not the case? All right, let's do that. Hey, what about if I perfect my pussy eating so that while I'm getting it together, I give her 5 orgasms? And then, you know what? If by chance I don't get it together, I'm getting a second chance, because she's like, well, I mean, he didn't get it up, but I came 10 times. I'll invite him over another time, right? You're setting yourself up for success by doing these things. You're setting yourself up for success, right? So that's the big piece, right? It's like, okay, you got to understand, well, even within this idea of there's this burden on me, what can I do to rise to the occasion on that? Mm-hmm. And it's very, all men are capable. I firmly believe this. All men are capable. They just need the right direction and the right tools. If you have that, you can do it.
Yeah. Well, I love that you provide this. I love, like I said before, it is such a needed area. It's such an, it's like, yeah, like you said, nobody teaches this subject. And you just have at length not only your expertise, but you have done more work on yourself after that. And you, like you said, didn't you practice NLP, or do you still?
Yeah. No, I attended the NLP Marin up in Northern California. I went, got my master's certification there for 3 years. Then after that, did a lot of personal work with shamanic plant medicines. So for me, the journey never ends as far as trying to better myself, right? I mean, I think if you're a self-development junkie, you're a self-development junkie for life. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the coaching and the teaching really coalesced with everything for me personally. It's like, okay, this is something that I'm world-class at. This is something the world needs. This is something they're willing to pay me for. And this is something that I enjoy and I'm passionate about. It's like, well, where is that circle in the middle? And that's what you need to be doing for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like I could teach guys forever, because I understand their pain. I was there when I was a kid, you know, when I didn't know anything. And then here's me having gone through this crazy experiment for 25 years that now you don't have to do, because it's not for everybody. I mean, you know, as well as I do, you know, when you work in any sort of sex industry, it's tough on people. It's tough on them mentally, and only the strong really survive in that. And so, you know, I get guys all the time that are like, oh, I'd like to be a porn star. I said, no, 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 you don't want that. And I said, probably you can't do it, right? And I'm just being very honest with them. I'm like, you have no idea what it takes to do that day in and day out. And not only do it on a high level. My old business partner, Mike John, used to joke with me, but it wasn't really a joke. He used to be like, well, if it was ever hard, you either have the best job in the world or the worst job in the world. He said, because for you, it's the best job in the world. But he goes, for that guy that shows up on set, is woodless for 4 hours, the girl hates him, the crew looks like they want to stab him, everybody wants to go home and is angry, that is the worst job in the world for that guy right now.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, and it's no different than sports, right? If you're the kicker and the time is winding down on the clock and you put it through the uprights, you're the hero. Guess what? You miss that field goal, your life is over.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Well, they can master their partners, right? They don't have to, they don't have to go through that whole process of being a porn star. So
exactly.
They have the tools and the knowledge from, you know. So after somebody finishes, so this is not actually a masterclass. This is an academy and membership, like a program that you just said. So do you find that people are staying in the academy because, like you said, you're always coming up with new content?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and the members love it because, like I said, I also do the live coaching calls too.
Right.
So that's the other level of personal attention. So mm-hmm. it's like, guys, they take the modules, they get the knowledge, and then they say, you know what? I didn't understand X, Y, Z. And then we have a group coaching call every month. And therefore, I go in detail. And I'm always teaching new things in the coaching calls as well. You know, we recently, last week, we did one on apparatus choice and why it matters. And I broke down all the different, you know, bedroom to life apparatuses that you could be having sex on and the benefits and negatives, because most guys aren't thinking about this, right? Mm. And how it can really impact you. Like, I'll use an example, right? Often, especially, let's imagine that you are a gentleman who is struggling with maintaining, holding on to your ejaculate, right? So you've got a little bit of premature ejaculation going on, and now you're having sex in a car. Well, okay, we're limited in what we are able to do now, right? We can't use any sleight of hand. We can't use any transition of pussy eating. We've got maybe two functional positions. That's it, right? We may not be able to use angles and depth effectively like we would be able to on a bed. Mm-hmm. The girl might be more in control of the pace and the stroke than you would like. So there's all these different things that make that a really poor apparatus choice if this is the problem that you're struggling with. You know, I always look at, if I was to rank them, I rank a bed with a perfect 100 score simply because we can be the most effective there. Anything past that, we have a lower score of. And guys just need to understand, okay, well, what do I need in the moment? And this comes back to having personal agency. Like, if you know that a certain apparatus is going to be bad or you may struggle, why would you ever put yourself in that position? We always set ourselves up for success because that is also what helps us from a mental standpoint. You know, if you're stacking wins, you believe you're a winner. That's how it is. So why don't we consciously stack wins? Why don't we consciously make it so that we're always in control of as many things that we can be? You know, because again, you can't totally control your penis, but you can get really close to it. And that all comes from every level of what you are setting up from yourself, from, hey, what's my condom choice? What supplements am I taking? What's my food intake? What's my position choice, right? How deep am I going? How deep am I not going? Yeah, I mean, there's a million different factors that ultimately lead you to being successful, right? But you need to have that conscious awareness.
Yeah. And I do love that you brought up, and this is something, you know, earlier you said be your self biohacker or along those lines, but mm-hmm. you just spoke about, you know, diet, food, exercise, because they're so important. And I don't think, as a man who doesn't know how invaluable those are to add, eating the right foods, for example, right? How blood flow gets to the penis more and so on and so forth. I think that's also amazing that you're teaching that, the health of it.
Well, health is key. I mean, look, I practice what I preach, right? So, I mean, anybody that knows me and sort of knows my story, I was the fattest kid in school growing up, right? The fattest.
Don't believe right? it. I'm just kidding.
I'll show you uh-huh. the photos, right? And so, again, I could have been the victim, but no. When I hit high school, joined the football team, started to lose the weight. Then from there, I discovered weightlifting, got into bodybuilding, got a six pack, right? And went down this road of health because people say, wow, you're in great shape. You know, and I tell them how old I am and they go, how are you in such good shape? I said, because of that trauma as a child, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I will never be that again. And so whenever you have anything go wrong in your life, it's like, well, where can you use that to fuel you going forward? Rather than saying, oh, well, that happened. Well, yeah, but if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be where I am today. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Right. And so that's why I'm a big proponent of physical fitness, because your diet massively will affect your ability to get hard. You know, how much body fat you're carrying massively will affect your ability to get hard. It's going to affect your ability to perform positions. You know, there's one thing that I'll often tell my clients about, because I'll mention a specific position that they can do, that they can use to be able to last longer and maintain a connection with a woman. But it requires a lot of body strength. And if they don't have it, they can't do it. But if you have the strength and you do that to a woman in the bedroom, it's, you're going to ramp up her attraction and excitement through the roof, because she's like, my God, you know, nobody's ever done this to me in this position, right? And so you can use it for two reasons. You can use it, well, to increase her arousal, but you're also using it, the main reason you're using it is so that you can last longer in the bedroom. But if you don't have the physical capabilities to hold up the woman, you can't do it. So there's a lot of reasons, you know, and then let's even just layer on a base level of sexual shame, because that's a huge thing. You know, if a guy's out of shape, what's the first thing you see? They don't want to take their shirt off. Well, if you don't want to take your shirt off, are you going to leave that shirt on in the bedroom? And so how are these things going to affect your ability to get hard, because you're worried about someone looking at you naked? Like, when you feel good about yourself being naked, chances are you're going to perform really good, because you're like, well, yeah, I want to show you this. Let me take all my clothes off right now, sweetheart. Right? It's a whole different level of confidence, but that confidence comes by you loving yourself and you being happy with yourself. And if you're not happy, well, then get out there and change it, you know, step by step.
Yep, definitely. I feel it's not just like, I hate the word diet, because it sounds like it's short term. It's really a lifestyle. And I think the faster people can understand that lifestyle is a way of living, a way of eating, a way of doing everything, then just in general, like you said, not only your confidence, but it's a win-win for everything in your life. And after interviewing a couple people, I realized how important diet and exercise and sleep is to being effective in the bedroom. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you nailed it on the head. It is total lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what I had for breakfast, it's the same thing I'm going to have for breakfast next month. It's the same thing I'm having for breakfast next year. It doesn't change, right? I mean, when people look at what I eat, they could reasonably say, well, that's kind of boring. Well, you got to choose what you want, right? There's no free lunch in life. You know, you want a six pack? Well, that requires eating a certain way, you know, and that's just how it is, right? You want to perform your best in the bedroom, that requires acting a certain way, you know? It's just how it is. You gotta practice like you're gonna play.
Agreed.
You look at the sports athletes, you know, Tom Brady is not just sitting on the sidelines eating Cheetos for 7 months and then jumping into the Super Bowl.
Yeah. There was a local college where I live, and one of the quarterback with his first year was last year, and he performed. They weren't really, maybe we made the wrong decision. This year, apparently, he cut out all fast food, even though, mind you, he's like 19 or something. And he really cleaned up his diet, and he is like outperforming. We became like the number third football team in the U.S. right now, college ball. And it's like, you know, he was like, wow, I didn't even know I could perform like that, because solely cutting out certain foods and eating healthy. So it's just unbelievable and I know he's 19, clientele is not always 19, but the whole premise behind that is when you want something and you want to take something seriously, it's putting in, you know, action steps into getting there. So.
Yeah. And it's funny, because there's one section in the academy too, where I talk about the athlete's mindset, right? And it really is that, right? Like, if you were to suddenly shift your perspective and say, you know what, I'm not just an average Joe, but I'm a sexual athlete. How would you approach things differently? Like, how would the athlete be approaching the bedroom, right? How does an athlete approach the game, professional athlete, right? It's like what you said. Well, they're not boozing it the night before, are they? Probably not drinking at all. They're probably watching their diet. They're probably getting their 8 hours of sleep, because they want to perform for the big game. So as a man, if you can embrace an athlete's mindset behind it, now that starts to permeate all your thoughts, all your actions, all your decisions, you're going to perform better in the bedroom.
Yeah, I love it. So what is somebody in your academy going to walk away with? Say they leave, they've been in there for a year. I don't know, just for example. What are they going to learn in this academy?
Well, they are going to learn all the signals and the abilities to make over 85% of women orgasm. They are going to learn to have conscious control over their own ejaculation so that they can call their shot, as I call it, meaning you are able to determine when and where it's going to happen. They're going to understand positions, how to do positions that are maximally effective at clitoral stimulation and minimally effective at their own stimulation. Because remember, we've got this orgasm gap. You know, most guys ejaculate in 5.4 minutes, women take 13.7. So that gap is what we need to close, and it can be closed easily, right? Men are going to learn how to give their women pain-free anal sex using the push-pause methodology. And then, of course, we're going to go into condom choice, sexual health, and a whole host of other things. So really, it is an all-encompassing program for men so that they can completely master the bedroom and be able to give their women orgasm at will.
And this is for all men who need assistance, education, the tools, because I think everyone needs it. So, you know, you don't let this pass you by, please.
You can never be too, you know, I don't think there's anybody out there that was like, you know what? He's too good in bed.
Right?
Are your girlfriends out there complaining that their guy is too good in bed?
I don't think I've ever heard that. Yeah. I've heard he's great, but it usually doesn't continue.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're not saying, well, you know, I wish he would tone it down a notch because he's too good. It'd be nice if he was just average. That'd be better.
Right, right. Well, what other services do you provide other than the academy, just for people that maybe want to, do you do one-on-one coaching?
I do one-on-one as well, and that's with my private clients, and they just reach out to me. They could just email me at eric@ericeverhard.com, and then we'll come up with a structure, because that's all bespoke based on, okay, where are you at now? Where do you want to get to? And what are your major problems that you're having right now? Okay. And those, we go in depth, and I tailor an approach not only just for them in terms of their mindset, but also in terms of what is it that they want to achieve, right? So,
okay, wonderful. Now, I know I asked you last time, what was one of your favorite dates and what was it? So I'm going to ask you a different question. I'm going to ask you, if you had the perfect date, what would it be?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, what would be a perfect date for you?
Perfect date for me?
Mm-hmm.
Oof. I would have to say probably either. I would say perfect date for me would be beautiful woman and going down some beautiful cobblestone streets in some old city in Europe and just admiring the architecture together.
That would be it
for me.
Yeah.
I'm an old city historic guy. So that's what I like to do. Right. If you get me out there and I can go look at some old stuff that's got a historic value, yeah, I'm smitten.
You get excited.
There's
a bond there, you know? I mean, I think that's taking something that you love with another thing that you love and, you know, mixing the two.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Amazing. I love that. Well, thank you so much for being on today's show. I learned
so much. You.
I always do. And I'm sure everybody here listening is going to learn so much. And I will have in all the show notes where to get a hold of you and how people can reach out and join your academy or purchase your book or one-on-one coaching. So
yeah, they just go to www.everhardacademy.com and they'll find all the goodies there.
Yes, I love it. Well, thank you again for taking the time, and I will talk to you very soon.
Yes, the three-peat.
The three-peat, I love it. Yes, let's do it. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Come and hang out with me on Instagram at CelesteMoreImage. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode because I always love hearing from you all. You can find all the links and resources in the show notes of the episode on my website, CelesteMoore.com. Okay, that's all for now. I'll see you in the next episode. See you next time, friends.